Now we love movies, it is time to take a look at all things Fast and Furious 8. Very shortly, Rory Cashin and Brian Lloyd will be joining me to take a look at the film. But first, let us hear from one of the film's stars, Dwayne Johnson. Here he is talking about his experience making the movie and working with Jason Statham.
The bottom line is, between myself, my producing partner Chaim Garcia and Chris Morgan, you know, I just really love coming up with these lines from Hobbs. Daddy's gotta go to work. I am the Calvary. I mean, there's just so many. They go on and on and on. So I always have the best time. It is literally one of the best times I have filming. And over my entire career is what we're able to do with the character of Hobbs. So much fun. Fast 8 gave myself and Jason Statham just great liberty to go, because we knew what we wanted to do was hopefully create a relationship that audiences are gonna love, like this Butch and Sundance kind of relationship where it's two guys, they're talking to each other, but a relationship is forming, a bond is forming, and they're wisecracking guys, they're also badass guys. So there was so many lines that that I was improvising with Jason, and Jason's got the best sense of humor. I mean, he looks tough and he is tough, but I love cracking him up. So there's one line, for example, he didn't know I was gonna say it, where I said, I'm gonna knock your teeth so far down your throat, you're gonna stick a toothbrush up your ass to brush them. And I could see his smile start, and he's trying to stay in character, and he just completely busts out laughing. And I actually think that's in the movie.
We love movies with Gordon Hayden.
It's now time to review Fast and Furious 8. In the States, it's known as The Fate of the Furious. Rory Cashin and Brian Lloyd are over the phones to review the film. Gentlemen, good to have you with me. So, Rory, you've had a chance to check this one out. What's going on with the story for the 8th installment?
Okay, so Dom, who is Vin Diesel, and Letty, who is Michelle Rodriguez, are living a very nice retired life in Cuba. And the rest of the team are scattered all over the world, and they're just like living off the fortune that they made from the last 7 films. And Dom runs into Charlize Theron, who blackmails him with things we're not told about immediately, but blackmails him into a job, which he does and partakes in, and ends up running away with this big massive weapon and brings it back to Charlize Theron. But everyone thinks that Vin Diesel has flipped on them, and no one's entirely sure why. It results with The Rock ending up in prison, right in a cell, right next door to Jason Statham, because that's a very good idea to have the two of them, you know, neighbors in prison.
Yeah.
And then Kurt Russell, who we remember from Fast 7, arrives with his new protege, played by Scott Eastwood. And they end up bringing the team together to find out why it is that Vin Diesel has flipped and what it is exactly that Charlize Theron is up to.
All right. Here is a little bit from the trailer to Fast and Furious 8.
Dominic Toretto just turned on us.
Well, well, well. See, look at that.
I don't know why he's doing this, but that wasn't Dom.
She's the very definition of high-tech terrorism. And now, she's working with your guy.
I think I found my team.
This should be interesting.
So, Rory, all in all, they're hoping to make 10 Fast and Furious films, and there was a massive gear change in this series when it came to the 5th film. We had the inclusion of Dwayne Johnson, but it just was one of the best films in the series so far, and it just took on a completely different life. And since then, you know, like, all in all, they've been enjoyable guilty pleasures. But you're kind of wondering, if you pardon the pun, if there's still mileage left in the old tank. So when it comes to this 8th film, like, how over the top is it getting now? Like, is it getting to the point where you're going, lads, you're running on fumes?
Well, that's an awful lot of puns.
I was going to say, there are so many automotive puns there.
I'm proud of you.
I feel like you're really proud of your punnage.
Thank you very much.
That is Top Gear punnage right there. But, yeah, like, the reason why I and I think everyone else loved Fast 5 as well is that, like, the stunts in it were really, really good, but they felt, for the most part, quite physical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you couldn't really tell which were CGI or which scene had them actually dragging, you know, a massive bank safe through the streets of Rio, because there was a real kind of crunch to the action scenes, and you could kind of feel it, and it was really, really enjoyable on top of the great chemistry between The Rock and Vin Diesel and everyone else that brought to it. And it was mostly the same with 6, but everyone then ended up making fun of the eternal runway at the end,
runway,
because you knew that was all special effects, because obviously it had to be. And then with 7, it was kind of bleeding more into the same problem, because you could, like, the scene where they jumped from skyscraper to skyscraper, you're like, yes, it looks cool, but I'm not enjoying it as much as I did, you know, the stuff that felt quite real and quite grounded and stuff. And with A, like, there's a submarine in it. There's a submarine chase in a film that was originally about illegal
street cars. Street racing, yeah.
Yeah, so it really is... If people didn't think already that I had kind of, you know, jumped the shark in terms of just how much over the topness we're willing to swallow, like, complete craziness, like, this is jumping the submarine. This is the point where you're like, yeah, okay, you've kind of lost... You've lost the plot and you need to come back down a bit, because there's nowhere else for this to go other than literally go into space in part 9, because it's too much. Like, you enjoy the reality of, like, John Frankenheimer's car chase
from
Ronin and from Back in the Day and stuff from French Connection, because it felt like at any moment the car had trouble, you'd be like, oh God, like, the stunt driver or whoever could actually be hurt. Like, that's kind of part of the enjoyment. And it was the same problem with, like, the thing I compare it to is the recent Ben-Hur. Yeah. Because you look back at the old chariot race, like, you could feel it in your gut. You're like, oh, like, this was shot for real and anyone could be hurt at any moment. And the practical effects side of it is so impressive. And then when you see it in CGI, you're like, meh, I don't care.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's disappointing. But do you think, just before we have bring you in on this one, Brian, do you worry, though, Rory, that this is really going to test Fast and Furious fans' patience this time out, to the point where could you see people switching off now?
Well, I'd be surprised if it made as much money as Fast 7 did. I think Fast 7 had the curiosity factor because it was like the bye-bye to Paul Walker.
Mm.
So I'd be very surprised if it made that kind of money. So I don't know. I think there was a lot of repeat viewing for Fast 7 as well. And again, like, I'd say this is going to have a massive opening weekend and then, like, drive off a cliff. Like, for the rest of the week.
Oh no. Like, Brian, are you know, as a matter of, like, you're not like a massive Fast and Furious fan, but, like, you know, you've seen,
no,
like myself, like, you've seen, you've kept up to speed with a whole lot of them, and there we go. Can't stop now. And but there is a guilty pleasure to be had. Have you any interest in checking out this new installment?
Oh yeah, no, I mean of course. Like, I mean, I like Rory, like, I like Fast 5. I like the fact that there was a blending of, okay, this is really insane, but at the same time, you know, there's a little bit of CGI here and it worked. And then it was the same with Fast 6 again. Like, what I would say about Fast and Furious, the whole franchise is that, like, you buy into it. You know, that kind of way. You buy in. You know that this is going to be stupid. You know that this is going to go all over the place. You know that, like, you know, there is no real script. It's literally just how many stunt scenes can we fit into this film and have a very thin plot treading the whole way through it.
Yeah.
I tell you, if I was a Universal executive and I was doing the 9th and 10th film, I'd go right back to basics. What I would do is I would try to capture something of the original. And I don't mean in terms of, like, you know, the fact that it was just a rip-off of Point Break. I mean, use actual cars. Let's actually see real explosions here. Let's actually see if we can kind of try keep this within the bounds of physics, as opposed to, you know, like, I remember looking at the trailer for Fate of the Furious, and there was a bit where The Rock literally picks up a torpedo and throws it at the submarine. It's like, okay, like, you know, come on, like, I mean, at what point do we draw the line here and say this is just too stupid, like, you know, that sort of way. And I would not be in the least bit surprised if there's a massive drop in the takings on the second week of this. I don't think word of mouth is going to be particularly kind to it.
Well, if you look at the new Pirates movie, they're calling that, as they now say, a soft reboot. So you never know. Maybe that's what the Fast and Furious series needs. Maybe, as you say, go back to basics. Let's get scores then out of 10 for it, Rory. What did you think?
Okay, so I know it sounded like I was dogging on it pretty hard, but, like, it's still good fun. Like, there is still enjoyment and entertainment to take it out of it, and obviously everyone in it is having a good time. Charlize Theron actually does a decent job as the villain, but it doesn't hold up as well as 5, 6, and 7 have.
Okay.
And it seems to be a bit of the case of diminishing returns, and maybe that has got to do with F. Gary Gray, because he is not really of the same, he wouldn't have the same action caliber behind him Some of the previous directors have. So I would give it a 6.5 out of 10.
All right. Rory and Brian, thank you so much for that.